Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thank goodness that today isn't Halloween, because that would just be unfair. It'd be unfair for the kids. It'd be unfair for the parents. Nobody wants to go trick-or-treating in a rainstorm. It's a disgusting, rainy, windy day, and tomorrow's supposed to be nice, and then you get your candy. Welcome in to Evan and Tiki here on this Halloween Eve Thursday. A lot to talk about. We'll get to the football later on, including Carl Banks responding to Dexter Lawrence, who responded to Carl Banks, who responded to Dexter Lawrence's play. We'll reevaluate our opinions on who's going to win more games this year, the New York Jets or the New York Giants, and why Victor Wembanyama may not be all that impressive. But a few days ago, Tiki made a really compelling point that a lot of Yankee fans were debating, and that was that the Yankees have to do for Aaron Judge what the Dodgers did for Shohei Ohtani, which is essentially stack the deck.
Yes.
Well, as the Dodgers are on the brink of elimination, fingers crossed, and the Blue Jays are on the brink of a World's Championship, I ask you, Czar of Baseball Tiki Barber, what do the New York Yankees have to do to be more like the Toronto Blue Jays?
Well, I mean, they have a young stud pitcher, Cam Schlittler, just like the Blue Jays do, and Trey Yesavage.
That is true.
They have a banger like Vlad Guerrero, and the Yankees obviously have Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a leadoff guy? Maybe sometimes, not really. So they need a leadoff hitter. But to be like the Blue Jays specifically is not one person. It is a mentality. Whereas the Dodgers, their mentality is go pay as many of the greatest players that you can and get as deep and as impactful by the checkbook. The Blue Jays get grinders. These guys don't strike out.
Right.
They battle pitchers. Force you to get frustrated and get through your entire arsenal and then ultimately choke up and just put the bat on the ball and see what happens. And that's not sexy. That's boring. That's kind of, in the regular season, it's boring. But when you get to the postseason, it gets you 5-run innings or 4-run innings or 3-run innings. And so the Blue Jays have a mentality that the Yankees need. But I think the Yankees are more likely to do it the Dodgers way than they'll ever do it the Blue Jays way.
Well, what I would argue is that while the Toronto Blue Jays are having a wonderful season, mm-hmm. and they may well win the World Series, the question I ask you, I actually even disagree with. I don't think the New York Yankees should want to be the Toronto Blue Jays. Because
why?
Because the Blue Jays winning isn't about a formula. It's not about, see guys, I told you all along, you have to strike out less. I don't think the Blue Jays are winning and proving a formula is correct. They're just playing really good baseball at the right time of year.
Mm.
I mean, they ended up winning the same amount of games in the regular season.
Yes.
You did a great job of even mentioning that Yesavage and Schlittler, you can almost argue, are the same.
Right.
I mean, if anything, Cam Schlittler pitched a hell of a lot more during the regular season, but he's that same electric young arm that could dazzle in the postseason. And honestly, if the Yankees won a few more games, Schlittler would have gotten that opportunity.
100%.
It wasn't his fault. But, like, the Yankees draw more walks than the Toronto Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
They draw more. I mean, I just want to start with that. They have a higher walk percentage than the Toronto Blue Jays. Isn't that kind of important? Like, getting on base? I mean, you mentioned contact, but, like, the whole objective of contact is to eventually get on base, and the Yankees did that better than just about anybody this season.
Yes, they did. But when they needed to put hits together and drive runners in and get on base, as you were just talking about, when it mattered, they didn't do it.
In a four-game sample size.
I know that, but I think when you do stuff, this is why I was so enamored, at least a week ago or two days ago, so enamored with Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he gets this his moment, he's ready for it. Now, he wasn't great last night, obviously, but his moment was two games ago.
Right.
And it was unreal. I feel like the Yankees, judge this year, but in large part, they don't have those moments, at least not recently.
Well, they didn't have the moment this year in a best of four series or best of five series that only went four games. They had that moment a year earlier when they got to the same area Toronto got to, not quite winning three games in the World Series.
Right.
They won one game in the World Series. I just don't think, and I guess this is what I reject, and I'm hearing a lot of this over the last couple of days, is that, well, the Blue Jays got to the World Series. They've won three games against the Dodgers. The Yankees need to be the Blue Jays. Like, they have somehow cracked some magical code.
No,
they
didn't say that. I said the Yankees need to be the Dodgers.
Well,
you asked me how the Yankees could be the Blue Jays.
Do they need to be the Blue Jays?
And I said the Yankees will never be the Blue Jays because they want to be more like the Dodgers.
Right, but first of all, both are big market teams. So
yeah.
In fact, the Yankees are more similar to the Blue Jays in terms of payroll than they are the Dodgers. When you look at I'm being
relatively
serious.
Relatively speaking, you're right.
The Blue Jays are fifth in payroll.
Right.
The Dodgers are number one. The Yankees are third. And I think the Yankees are closer in payroll to Toronto than they are LA.
That's a good point.
So they're both big market teams. I just don't think, and we're going to fall victim to this, that because the Blue Jays are winning, and because they make a lot of contact, mm-hmm. and because they have a lot of quote-unquote grinders, that is going to naturally make us think, see, Brian Cashman, that's what you need to be. And I don't think that's really true.
Yeah, I don't either. You asked the question of me. I don't think that the Yankees should try to be the Blue Jays. I think they should try to be more like the Dodgers because they have the resources to do that. Now, I know they don't want to, and historically they haven't, but the question is going to ultimately become, 1, 2, 3 years from now, when you're wasting the opportunity for your biggest star, that is Aaron Judge, I guess Garrett Cole is jumbled in there as well. You're missing the opportunity to take advantage of having your biggest stars at their prime. Whereas the Dodgers have their biggest star at their prime, and I mean, unfortunately for the rest of the MLB, Shohei Ohtani's likely to be at his prime for the next 4 years.
Right.
And so it's an extended window that you have. Whereas the Yankees I know their window is open, but does it feel like it's open?
Yeah, no,
it feels like it's a screen. You know what I mean? It's an open window, but there's a screen there. Something always stopping you a little bit from penetrating and getting to the promised land.
I think the Yankees have always shown, outside of a brief rebuild, retool in the 2014, 2015, 2016 years,
mm-hmm.
their window's always open. Doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series, but they're always right there and they're always a contender.
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about, though. We're talking about winning a World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
The Dodgers are trying to win a World Series every year.
Yes.
And you're right about Toronto. Are they going to be in position to win a World Series for the next 3 years straight? I doubt it.
No, I think the Blue Jays are a wonderful story, and I don't want to minimize what they're accomplishing, but I think what we do every single year is when a team wins, we mm-hmm. look at them and we kind of open up the hood like it's a car and say, how did they get there? Let's be more like them.
Right. But I don't know. I think it's only because of the familiarity. So the Dodgers, obviously, because of last year. The Toronto Blue Jays this year, because we see them so often in the division. But I don't think anybody was trying to be the Diamondbacks. I don't think anybody was trying to be the Texas Rangers when they won it a couple of years ago. In fact, we barely paid attention to it. And who the hell is going to go sign aging pitchers and say, yeah, that's the future. That's the way to get it done.
Right.
You might get one.
Yeah, I think in that case you're right. Texas, but that's because no one watched the World Series.
Well, exactly.
So that was the one exception because no one paid attention. But you even said it with the contact. Like, I even think that to a degree is overrated. Like, the Toronto Blue Jays are a win away from the World Series.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And if I ask you, like, right off the top, why? You know, how has this happened? How are the Toronto Blue Jays a win away from a world championship? What's your answer to that, Sean?
First of all, I think that the Blue Jays lineup is built to more contact than the Yankee lineup. And batting averages would show that.
And pitching has been great.
So, obviously, I can't argue with that stuff. Like, they make more contact than the New York Yankees. But they also are doing something else that's very, very important and should not be ignored. The Toronto Blue Jays have played 16 postseason games. They have hit 27 home runs.
Right.
That's a lot of home runs.
Including two and three pitches.
The New York Yankees played 14 postseason games last year, so I guess that's three less. They hit 22 home runs.
I think
the Blue Jays are hitting pretty much the same amount of home runs as the Yankees a year ago, if not more. And last night, when they changed the tone of the game, how did they change it?
But
they changed it by hitting back-to-back home runs to start the game. Yeah. Home runs are still king as much as we try to minimize it.
Yeah, but when you watch that game, it felt like these 6, 7, 8 pitch at bats were what were going to ultimately be the difference maker for the Blue Jays. And it ultimately it was.
You don't think it's them hitting more home runs?
I mean, it is.
Which they have.
It's connected, though, Evan. It's connected. I know back-to-back, that's kind of an outlier.
On three pitches.
I
they set the tone for last night's game on back-to-back home runs on three pitches.
But the Blue Jays all year, and this is played into the postseason, when you see more pitches, you hit to contact more, you're going to see more pitchers. And you're eventually just going to have your bats going like that, where you're going to have more opportunities to hit home runs.
So you know you're kind of wrong about one thing? The Yankees see and saw a lot of pitches.
They do, but they don't continue innings with contact.
100%. Like, I can't argue the contact thing. Like, they strike out more than the Blue Jays. We saw that in the series. We know it. The numbers are the numbers. What I'm telling you, though, ultimately is hitting home runs, as much as we downplay it and say, you got to be more grindish, you got to play more small ball.
It is very important.
That's why the Blue Jays are a win away from the World Series, ladies and gentlemen.
You need both.
I get it, of course. You want everything. That'd be my answer. Like, I want everything. Like, so to sit here and say, they got to be more contact driven. They got to this. They got to hit home runs. The teams that hit the more home runs in each game in the postseason tend to win. That's not a coincidence.
Can't you be more contact-driven, though, and still hit home runs?
Yeah. I'm not against having more contact on my team. I'm not saying, like, it's terrible. I'm saying let's not over-exaggerate what Toronto is doing. They're actually doing things that the Yankees do just better. They're hitting more home runs. Again, they've hit 27 home runs during this postseason run. Is that a lot, Teak?
I mean, yeah.
It's a lot. Vladimir Guerrero hits one every other day. It's a lot.
They flipped the Ohtani game on a two-run home run by Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They flipped last night's game on back-to-back home runs. So I give them a lot of credit. I don't want to minimize what they're doing. I am rooting for them. But what we cannot do
right.
is over-exaggerate some of the things they do the Yankees don't and say, see, that's why the Yankees haven't won. I don't think that's fair or accurate.
It's definitely not, and it's completely discounting the pitching that the Blue Jays have gotten, including last night where Trey Yesavage was out of control, excellent.
Incredible.
10 strikeouts through 5 innings, and what did he finish, 12?
Over 7.
I mean, it's just ridiculous for a rookie to have that good of a stuff. But so you don't discount the pitching, but it's to me it feels like this Blue Jays team is dangerous throughout, and you don't know who it's going to be. And now I'm not going through every single player and saying he's hitting this, he's got hitting this, he's only doing this, this guy's doing X, Y, Z. It just feels like given any of the moves that Snyder does, they kind of work out.
Yeah, well, that's, you know what that is sometimes? That's called a magical season.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true. The
Blue Jays have had like this magical season because I do think 162 games is a very good barometer of who you are.
Yeah.
Because baseball's like this long-winded thing. It's not decided briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of 162 games, I think we saw that the Yankees and the Blue Jays were basically equals. Now, when they faced each other, it was very different, obviously. Mm-hmm. I can't deny that. But I don't think like there's this huge gap, and I don't think that the Yankees have to reevaluate everything that they are to be like the Blue Jays, whose World Series, if they win it this year, and I'm not convinced they are, they still need to win one more game, it's probably a one-off. Like, if we're being honest, I don't think the Blue Jays are going to go win back-to-back World Series. It's probably a one-off, so we shouldn't over-exaggerate what a one-off is. You know what I mean? We shouldn't look at it and say, that's the end-all, be-all.
I hear you, but there's a theme that runs through this team.
Yes.
And they respond to their moments. And Snyder gets put into the leadoff spot. First pitch he sees, he takes it yard. And it's not, he's hitting 211 or 210 or something in the postseason this year. So it might be that. It might be magical. And again, I'm not saying the Yankees should be like the Blue Jays. I think the Yankees need to try to be more like the Dodgers, but I don't, because they have the ability to be like the Dodgers if they want to be. Being like the Blue Jays would require a culture to develop, a manager who pushes the right buttons all the time and makes the right decisions, and guys feel, I don't know, engaged in
isn't
what
that
they're
kinda,
doing.
Isn't that what you're describing, kind of lucky, though?
A manager
that pushes all the right buttons?
Maybe.
It's called a magical year?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe, but that's what I'm saying. It's not replicable.
Well, think about this in terms of the contact, because that is such a huge talking point, right? And Sean mentioned it, and I get it. I love baseball, and I would love my teams to not strike out as often as they do, so I'm not even saying you're wrong. Last year in the American League Championship Series, the Yankees faced a team that never struck out. That was the beauty of the Cleveland Guardians. They never struck out.
Right.
Did it matter?
No.
Why?
Didn't hit enough home runs either.
Right. They were just better.
Well, there you go. Like, not striking out's cool, but hitting home runs and scoring runs is cooler. And so while Cleveland had that quality a year ago, no one said we got to be like Cleveland because the Yankees spanked them. Mm-hmm. And they spanked them because they hit more home runs.
But the Blue Jays do both. That's the thing.
I get that.
That's the answer.
Right.
That's how you find a way to thread the needle and do both.
But you know what? The answer isn't really an answer because I see teams, and we see teams every year win using a variety of different ways. Like, I hate that phrase about the cat and the skinning of it.
Yeah.
You gave me another idea. What should I use instead? Cutting the pineapple. You can cut the pineapple a lot of different ways. You can win a championship a lot of different ways.
Yeah, the skin the cat was what you said. Oh, I said shave the
sheep?
Sheep.
Yeah. Shave the sheep.
Shave the sheep. Evan, you said, why would a sheep want to be shaved?
Yeah.
Vinny's bald.
2025, 2020, like the modern day baseball.
Yes.
I know we don't count it much, but I still think it matters. What do you consider a good batting average for this era?
Oh, boy. That's a loaded... It depends who the player is.
So, right. But that's why I'm asking. Forget the player. If you were just saying any player, I'd like him to hit at least...
Honestly,
this.
If you get to 270, like that to me is almost the new 300, if you will.
I was going to say, that feels great.
Yeah, that's great.
I was going to say, like, average, you hit around 250, you're good.
I'm going to go a little bar for you here, okay?
Yes.
The Blue Jays had 9 guys play over 100 games this year.
Right.
Okay? Many
right.
of them you're seeing here.
Mm-hmm. Blue Jays had the highest team batting average in baseball by a lot. Like, I'll acknowledge that.
8 of them hit 240 or better. The Yankees, in the same scenario, had 4 guys hitting below 240 this year.
Right, but
that's a major difference in these teams while then comparing the home runs.
But the Red Sox also had a really high batting average, second highest in the American League, and the Yankees beat them in the postseason.
They did, but it's just
complimentary. You see what I'm saying, though? It's not like an exact thing. Like,
I do.
I'm not against improving the team batting average. I'm not against striking out less. I'm just saying don't look at it as the end-all be-all because we're forgetting that the main reason the Blue Jays are where they are is because they're hitting a crap ton of home runs. That's the overall point. And I know it's not sexy and it's not a part of the storyline we try to put out there. They're relentless. They make contact, blah, blah, blah. Sure, they do that. They're also hitting a lot of home runs.
The Yankees only do one of those things. That's the difference. The Yankees don't hit to a high enough batting average. All they do is bludgeon teams at home runs. The Blue Jays are doing both. That is the biggest separator between why the Blue Jays are winning this year. On top of fundamentals, which is a one-year anniversary. But that's a big separator here between the Yankees and Jays.
I think it's frustrating because it's not easy to define why one team wins 94 games and gets to the World Series and another team wins 94 games and gets knocked out in the true first round,
right,
the divisional series. And sometimes, I hate saying this, I hate saying what I'm about to say, but it's so freaking true, sometimes it's just luck. You know, I know that sounds like a Cashman line, but it's so true. The Toronto Blue Jays, I never felt were the best team in baseball all year long. They had a really good year. They had a couple of hot streaks. And luckily for them, they're playing some of their best baseball now. Unfortunately for the Yankees, they didn't.
Right.
I mean, they didn't play their best baseball. And they got sent home what feels like 6 months ago. Reality of it was like 4 weeks ago. Which is crazy that the Yankees were eliminated that long ago. And here we are on the precipice of a 7-game World Series. Toll-free numbers 888-808-1019. We'll get to your calls coming up. Before we get to your telephone calls, you tell me if this makes Buck Martinez a bad guy or not. So last night, there was a foul ball.
Who was he taking shot at this time?
Tiki Barber. Started picking on your fumbling from 25 years ago. No, I'm just kidding. There was a foul ball in last night's game that you may have noticed on the regular broadcast. It was right next to Mary Hart. And they, Mary Hart is her name? Mary Hart, yeah, the woman, the actress, whatever. She's like a Dodger fan. She's always there. Right. She's like a part of the fabric of Dodger Stadium.
Mary Hart?
Yeah, Mary Hart. Who is Mary Hart? Am I just saying a random name?
I think you might
no,
be saying
No, it's Mary Hart. She hosted, she was at WrestleMania 3, of course, but she hosted like Inside Edition back in the day, I want to say.
That's your frame of reference.
Mary Hart, Mary Hart's fascinated with the Macho Man. Yeah, of course. That's what I think of her.
Well, she's always at Dodger games. So the gentleman sitting next to her apparently got hit by a foul ball. And we saw this on the Fox broadcast.
How is that possible?
Well, I guess if there's a high pop-up, the screen extends to block you from line drives, but not pop-ups.
Oh,
so if the ball goes over the screen, it could hit you. So there's also a TSN broadcast of the World Series up in Canada. And so you'll hear Buck Martinez and Dan Schulman. And so on their call, Dan Schulman is describing what happened to this older gentleman. And Buck Martinez, to me, throws in a line that feels inappropriate and non-caring. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Dan Schulman and Buck Martinez from last night's World Series.
And they are tending to whomever it is sitting beside her, but it looks like as the play resumes, seeing some smiles, and that's good news, and the seats right behind the plate, hopefully whoever it is okay.
Should have brought your glove.
Should have brought your glove.
Oh, man.
Come on, Buck.
He didn't even know he got hit.
Did Buck know he got hit?
No. The guy who got hit. Like, was he watching the ball and it hit him and he just missed it?
Well, we don't get to see how he got hit.
Yeah,
just that
he got
hit. I'm wondering
why he throws out. Should have brought your glove.
Should have brought your glove.
Because if you don't know the ball's coming, it doesn't matter if you have a glove.
Well, and sometimes even if you have a glove, you may miss it, especially if you're a 90-year-old man.
You might get too confident in yourself. I got this. And your eyesight's jacked up and you get hit right in the face anyways.
Buck Martinez, bad guy or no big deal? No big deal.
Yeah, it's kind of a no biggie, but it's kind of callous too.
Should have brought your glove.
A little callous.
Should have brought your glove.
How would you rate that, Sean? A little callous, big deal, or he's a jerk?
Slight jerk.
Yeah. Slight jerk,
yeah.
Slight jerk?
I think if he really was sitting, he would not say that if he was sitting next to him watching the guy get hurt.
He wouldn't have said to him as the stitches are being applied?
Should have brought your glove.
Should have brought your glove, old man.
I think that makes him a slight jerk.
Yeah.
Tommy?
I'll play slight devil's advocate. In our day, Ev, more people brought gloves to baseball games. Like, isn't that a thing that should be brought back? Like, when I was a kid, we all used to bring our gloves to the games.
I do have to disagree with you about this. Mm. I still feel like bringing gloves to games is still a huge deal.
Really?
I don't really think there's been a drop in that, no.
Well, yeah. I don't think Mary Hart's going to bring her glove to the game. Well,
no. Where is she sitting?
Or
how
Prince
close?
Harry. But.
Very close.
So she is sitting first row behind home plate. And to your point, Teak, it's very difficult to get a foul ball there.
Dude, that's almost impossible.
You're right. It needs to be a pop-up, and it just has to nestle into the first row. Can't be a line drive, obviously.
Should have brought your glove.
So maybe he was just not expecting that. It's a very unlikely landing spot for a foul ball.
Yeah, it is very unlikely. Isn't there a little bit of a hangover in that first row?
I don't think so.
Oh, jeez.
I don't think so. I think if there's a high pop-up and it gets back into that first row, it could hit you. But I do see a lot of...
I mean, obviously.
I see a lot of gloves at games, even though there's less of a chance of you getting a ball now because there are more screens set up around the ballpark. I still see a lot of gloves.
It's tough to be over the age of 16 and show up to a stadium with a glove. That's a very tough public thing to do.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I don't see that, by the way. When I say I see gloves, I see them from like 13-year-olds and 9-year-olds.
That's fine. I mean, let's be for the adult listening, put the glove away.
Should have brought your glove.
So if I start bringing a glove to Citi Field, you would mock me?
I'm a loser.
I think the damage is done on you, Evan. Yeah. Like, you look like somebody that would bring their gloves. So I think, again, the damage is done. But it's tough. That's a tough public thing. You're not going into one of those bars at the new Metropolitan Park with a glove after and thinking you're going to meet a woman.
I think that next year at Citi Field, when we sit in my seats, I can't pull it off. You guys can't pull it off. I think Tiki should just show up with a glove.
Should have brought your glove.
Just sit there in the front row with your glove. And before every pitch, get in the ready position. Like, I'm ready. And then it'll make it cool. Because I think if you do it, Tiki, then it becomes like the cool thing to do.
All right, I'll do it.
There you go. It's all
my
set.
Glove is right here. It's already in your office.
That's right.
It's been sitting there for almost a year now.
April of 2026. It's on. Now let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Philip is in Brooklyn on this fine Thursday. What's up, Philip?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be 65 in January.
Nice.
I've stopped watching baseball because it got boring to me, especially during the regular season. The Yankees-Red Sox rivalry is not what it was, you know, when Jeter and, you know, all those guys were there. But anyway, tell me, home runs, team home runs, team hits, team batting average, and runs scored. The Yankees have a perception. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
If they don't hit home runs, they don't win.
Right.
If Judge doesn't play, they don't win. I don't have the numbers for the 2025 season.
Yeah.
Yankees, Toronto. Who has the most home runs? Who has the most hits? What is the team batting average? And you could even break it down to, do the Yankees score more of their runs possibly on home runs rather than just regular hits? Because
okay.
I remember the days of guys like Lou Piniella and Nettles and them. If you needed a single, bam, Piniella slaps it down the line. If you needed a hit, somebody, you know, slaps something in the gap, you know, for a double.
No, and I appreciate you loving that and thinking back to it, but it is irrelevant in terms of your question because you're asking about 2025.
Right.
What happened 30 years ago, and you may prefer that game, which is totally fine. You can prefer that game. You're asking about the right now, and here's the convoluted thing about the right now. The New York Yankees hit the most home runs in the American League by a mile.
274.
274. The next closest was Seattle, who, by the way, got to the seventh game of the ALCS at 238. The Blue Jays were a middle-of-the-pack home run team, but they hit for a higher batting average.
191 home runs the Blue Jays hit.
But in terms of runs scored, the Yankees scored 53 more runs than the Toronto Blue Jays. Mm. But here's how I would frame what you said. You said the Yankees need home runs to win. If you look around baseball, especially this postseason, isn't that every team? Isn't every team who out-homers their opponent usually winning? And the answer is yes. When you out-homer your opponent, you tend to win. So is it a Yankee thing or is it a baseball thing?
Well, I mean, I think it's a baseball thing.
Okay.
But, I mean, you look at all of the... Every measurable, whether it was OPS, OPS plus, all that, the Yankees had an edge.
Yeah, they were a better offensive team.
They were a better offensive team. But it feels like that was kind of pile on, not minutia. You know what I mean? So the little things that they needed to do in certain moments to win games, they weren't able to do. Even though when you take it all and you lump it together, The Yankees were the best at everything.
Right. And then if you bring up Seattle, and I think they should be brought up because, again, they got to the seventh game of the ALCS. They're right behind the Yankees in home runs. Mm. They're right behind the Yankees in those categories. And yet they got to the seventh game of the ALCS.
Right.
So it doesn't prove that that's the way you're supposed to win what Toronto is doing. Let's go to Will in Bergen County. What's up, Will?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Evan, I usually agree with like 95% of what you say, but I'm sitting here listening to you guys with my friend Peter, and you're killing us right now with this talk about the home runs and the walks. You made a comment before about it's okay that the Yankees don't make as much contact as the Blue Jays because they walk more. And there's such a flaw in that, and that actually leads into the home run point. Like, when you walk, you're not advancing a runner. You're not driving in a runner without a hit. You're not forcing the other team to make a play where they can make an error. So walking, it's not – just putting a ball in play is so much better than walking. And no walks are
– But Will, I agree with you that I'd rather make contact. But what I'm saying to you is even though the Yankees don't make as much contact as the Toronto Blue Jays, they still proceed to score a lot of runs. And the Blue Jays' offense this postseason has been actually predicated on hitting a crap ton of home runs.
Yeah.
So home runs matter. We can't minimize it.
Right. But my point is if you're moving guys along and you're driving guys without a hit, driving runs home without a hit, you don't need 5,000 home runs. The little plays, so the walking and the home runs, they're tied together.
In theory, you're right. Obviously, contact can produce positive outs, but you can score more runs by hitting more home runs. Hence what the Blue Jays have done and what the Yankees have done. So I'm not disagreeing that in a perfect world, if I'm building an offense, like organically, would I like to have more guys that put the bat on the ball? Sure. We asked Brian Cashman this. I think it was the last question we asked him when he was on a few weeks ago. Would you want more contact on your team? Of course the answer is yes. It's just that it's not the end-all be-all. And because the Blue Jays are a win away from the World Series, we're kind of taking this issue and twisting it a little bit. As if we're ignoring the fact that the main reason they're a win away from the World Series is that they make contact. It's that they've hit a ton of home runs.
Also.
But I'm not saying I don't care about contact. I love contact. Oh, that makes the movie, not really. Ever seen the movie Contact?
Yeah, that was Jody.
Jody Foster. That's a good call by you. You know what's weird about that movie? The alien, when he stretched his legs and started running in the forest, it gave me nightmares for a week. That scene really freaked me out.
You know what's weird about that movie is I don't remember the point.
The point was aliens had been on Earth. Jodie Foster was a scientist, and I think she had discovered it.
Yes.
That's all I remember.
Matthew McConaughey is her co-star in the movie.
Is that true?
I believe that's the movie if we're on the same page. I just don't recall.
Matthew McConaughey? I don't remember that.
Is in Contact? I don't recall the aliens being revealed in that, though. Like, you seeing them.
Yeah, so it was a little
boy. Are you
boy.
Conflating different movies here? Like,
nah.
Signs and Contact?
Am I, maybe?
Independence Day and Contact?
No, not Independence Day. Independence Day is an all-time. You're right about Matthew McConaughey. I could have sworn that in the movie Contact, at one point, there's like this little boy, and he like his legs twist around, and he starts running in like a farm, made you think, oh, they're the aliens.
He might be right. I saw the movie once, like way back in the day. I just remembered that McConaughey was in it.
Now I got to rewatch that movie.
Me too.
Because I think I was just not paying enough attention to And now I love alien movies. Invasion on Apple Plus was great. Just finished the third season. But I don't remember the point of that movie.
Yeah, I don't either.
So I need to rewatch it.
I'm going
to
rewatch it too.
That's a good call, dude.
This is a show rewatch coming up this weekend. It's called Contact. It's from 1997, so it's not that long ago.
Yeah, it's not a rewatch for me. It's a first one.
Never seen it?
Never even heard of it.
So here's the one issue we're going to run into. I'm already looking. You got to pay $3.79 on Amazon Prime Video.
What?
It's not, and this is what pisses me off about movies.
Tubi.
What's Tubi? Oh, that's the one with the commercials?
Tubi.
I can't do that. I can't watch commercials.
Just watch commercials.
I can't do that.
Tubi.
Nah.
How many times do I have to explain that Amazon is Blockbuster now?
I agree with you. Ultimately, so pay the $3.79,
yes,
and there's
to
no
treat
late
it like
fees.
Blockbuster. That's the end of it.
You're 1,000% right. It just annoys me when I've got HBO and Netflix and Amazon. You have every freaking service, and yet the one movie where you're like, oh, let me go watch that, you got to pay for it.
Amazon came before all those. I actually respect them. I bend the knee.
So you're okay with that?
I rent a ton of movies.
So you're going to spend the $3.79?
As long as we're really going to do this.
Oh, I'm doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, Halloween. That's a good Halloween after the kid. You tuck the kids in.
Oh, yeah, sure.
After the World Series game.
Oh, after the World Series game.
Yeah, midnight.
Oh, yeah, midnight. No problem. I'll stay up. No problem.
What, are you going to fall asleep?
Yes, because I'm a normal human being, Evan. Yes.
It's a Friday night.
When do you sleep?
He doesn't. That's the difference. See, he thinks most people don't sleep like him.
Yeah.
Everybody needs sleep. I cherish my sleep.
Tiki? Friday night and Saturday is the best night to sleep.
Tiki, I'm going to give you a confession then.
Yes.
You think I don't sleep. So last night, I'm scoring the World Series game.
Yeah.
Okay? Nets lost. What a disaster. By the way, Jordy, you better start playing these rookies in the fourth quarter. I'm going to start calling for your ass to be fired.
Swag nut Nets.
Enough of this crap. So I'm watching the World Series. Blue Jays have a comfortable lead. Bottom of the eighth inning. The eyes get heavy.
Mm.
And I said to myself, could I fall asleep? I mean, it's only the bottom of the eighth. Like, the game's over. I feel good. They're not going to rally. And I passed out.
Nice.
So I fell asleep before the end of the World Series game.
Nice.
And then you woke up at 2:30 and hit play from the eighth inning on.
About 4:30, but close enough.
Ugh, by the way, Evan, according to Twitter, the kid's legs turning backwards is The Arrival with Charlie Sheen. Have you ever seen the movie?
Yes!
So once again, you conflated. I knew it. I didn't like Contact as a kid because I don't like, I don't want to give it away, but I will, alien movies where you don't see the aliens. They're never revealed in Contact.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
see them.
You're
so right. That's why I knew it. I'm like, I don't think that scene's in there because I remember being disappointed when I went to go see it.
So there was no alien?
No, I don't think you ever actually see it, Teak. Spoiler alert, the movie's 30 years old.
The Arrival came out 1 year earlier, 1996, and it featured Charlie Sheen. He's the only actor or actress I recognize. But it was a movie that came out a year earlier. And you're right.
Ah, you nailed it.
You love to mash up movies.
I heard this.
I'm sorry for spoiling.
I heard this on Star Talks. Neil deGrasse Tyson was doing a favorite alien. What's your favorite alien?
My favorite alien.
Favorite
it's
alien.
It's not E.T. He was overrated. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a pain in the ass.
E.T. was plant-based.
Was he?
Yeah. That's why when he touched the plants, they turned into, they revitalized.
Oh, the alien from Mars Attacks. Because he kept fooling. They kept fooling. What's his name? The famous
Jack Nicholson.
They kept fooling him, like, oh, we're going to make peace. And then they would blow something up.
Yeah.
So there you go. The alien from Mars Attacks.
That's a good one. Sean?
My favorite alien?
Your favorite alien.
The Sean Bradley one in Space Jam.
Come on.
I mean, anyone goes. That one's cool.
I know, but what I don't want to say it annoys me because it doesn't.
Why?
It makes me laugh is that Sean is the first one to say, doesn't always have to do with sports, Evan. And here he is giving Space Jam as the example.
He's leaning into his sports, though. Tommy? Yeah.
My favorite alien, Alf.
Alf?
Reminds me of being a child.
Alien
life form, yep.
Alf.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Let's go to Derek in Staten Island. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Tiki, I'm a total fanboy. The Hall of Fame's irrelevant. So you
I appreciate you, dude. Thank you.
Evan, listen, you're killing me, man. Much like, I'm 54 years old. Much like you.
How old are you, you said? You're 34, 44? What'd you say?
54.
54 years old, okay.
And baseball is my favorite sport by a mile.
Gotcha.
And I know it's not intentionally, but you're totally manipulating this home run thing. First of all, the problem with the Yankees, they don't need to be like the Dodgers or the Blue Jays. They need to be the Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And number two, that game didn't turn on the home runs last night. That game turned after Kiki Hernandez hit the home run and made it 2-1. All of a sudden, you're thinking, we got a game here. And what did the Blue Jays do? They hit a triple and a sacrifice fly.
Yep.
And what did they do later in the game? They tacked on.
No, I get you.
The Yankees.
They still turn the baby, but don't minimize the back-to-back home runs. I agree with you, but
that
come
was
on.
A great start.
Yeah.
That was a great start, but that wasn't the only reason why they won the game.
No, yeah. but
Derek, I agree with you, and here's why. Because Blake Snell, if he would have fallen apart, he gives up two home runs and three pitches, and if in the fourth inning, it's like, oh, Blake Snell is done. He's gone. This game is blown wide open because the Blue Jays are in the bullpen. He pitched into the seventh inning.
Right.
And so, yes, it was a big deal, but it was only three runs. And we're talking about the Dodgers. And he was right. Like, the Dodgers got themselves back into it until
The defensive miscue by Teoscar Hernandez.
Right, exactly.
Because that triple was a screw-up on his part.
Right, 100%. Just let it go, dude. Let him get a double. Or maybe hold him to a single by rounding that thing off instead of trying to catch it.
I'm not
when you have
minimizing tacking on that run in the fourth inning or tacking on the two runs in the seventh inning, also helped out by horribleness from the Dodgers.
Yes.
Three wild pitches. I think they called one of them a pass ball, which is BS. Hopefully they'll change it.
Oh, yeah. No, they were. Yeah, it was three. He walked. and got home in three wild pitches.
Two wild pitches and a pass ball. But it should be three wild pitches.
Yes.
So I'm not minimizing that, but here's the problem with what our last caller is not hearing. My opinion isn't, I love what I'm saying. I'm telling you this is what's happening. Mm. And what's happening is the more home runs you hit, the more you win. Does that mean I love it? Does that mean that's the baseball I would create in a fantasy world? I didn't say any of that. Mm-hmm. This isn't about me being new age and enjoying it. It's about just reminding you that the data backs up the fact that you need to hit home runs. The Toronto Blue Jays didn't hit a lot of home runs in the regular season. They scored runs in a very different way, no doubt. In the postseason, they're hitting a crap ton of home runs. They out-homered the Dodgers yesterday, and they won the game. To minimize that and say, well, it didn't matter. What about the tack-on runs? I get it. The tack-on runs are nice. They took the lead on back-to-back home runs. They flipped game four on a two-run shot by Vladimir. Like, home runs are a huge part of the game, and I'd argue, and I'd have to look this up to see if this is even backed up, that the percentage of games you win mm-hmm. when you out-homer your opponent feels extremely higher today than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 50 years ago.
Oh, I'm sure.
So don't get mad at me for just saying, hey, this is where the sport is. It's not like I'm saying I love it. I'm a pitching defense guy. Give me the 1-0 game. That's always my preference. But that's not the discussion. This isn't about what I like or what you like or what we all like. It's about winning. I want to win. I never win. I watch a bunch of losers every night. Lately, the Yankees haven't won. You guys feel like losers.
But they're not losers.
No, and look, are the Mets losers? Well, I guess they kind of are. That's my point. I'm just explaining where I think we are as a sport and that we shouldn't overreact to the fact that the Blue Jays are a high-contact team. It's not about what I like. Just want to make that clear because I'm a sucker for a 2-1 game in which there aren't a lot of strikeouts, if you ask me. But that's not baseball today. So I don't get to wave a magic wand and change it to something I prefer. Let's go to John and Maspeth. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
What's up, guys?
All's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. What's up? Yeah, just saw some good news on Twitter. My man, Al Cintron, got 5 shifts next week.
How about that?
Ah,
look it out.
Yeah.
Who's taking off next
early,
week?
Man. Y'all put him on more on the weekend, man. Come on.
Is C-Mac taking vacation? Is that what's going on here? Getting lazy?
I'm not sure. But anyways, I just saw that on Twitter.
Oh,
Al's nice. Got a good show, man.
No, we love Al.
Evan, thank you for discovering him.
That's right. I did discover him.
Anyways.
So if you like him, you're welcome. If you don't like him, sorry. Too bad.
No. So anyways, I was listening to the when you were talking about the Yankees and surrounding Judge. And, you know, they got to surround Judge with A-level talent, start paying up for these big stars, and fill in the voids with these players that are coming out of nowhere, essentially. Look at Toronto this postseason, right?
Yep.
For $16 million this year, they're paying Kirk, Varsho, Clement, Nathan Lukes, and Addison Barger. And combined, this playoffs, they got an 870 OPS.
John, you nailed that. And I don't know how you define that. Like, Ernie Clement is a journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way, a caller said this to us 4 weeks ago. I can't get it out of my head. He's so right. Ernie Clement looks just like Aaron Boone. And I can't get over it. And whoever that caller was, do you remember that call?
Yeah.
Dude.
And I remember not looking at it at the time.
Bro.
And
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
John was just talking about him. I'm looking at him.
Dude.
Because Boone doesn't smile. The picture doesn't look like him.
Right.
But it does look like him.
He looks just like him.
That's funny.
It's ridiculous. But look at Ernie Clement. Ernie Clement's a journeyman. He's bounced around. I think he was drafted by Seattle, Cleveland, something like that, last two teams. And this year, he's been a force. Addison Barger, who's had a big impact on the postseason. I mean, he's been in the Blue Jay farm system for like 6-7 years. All of a sudden, this year, he has a great year. So I do agree, and it's a very tough thing to measure. But if you're going to win, you need kind of that magic. I hate to say it because they didn't win, but that was Jose Iglesias 2 years ago. I must be honest. I mean, a guy that kind of comes out of nowhere, a journeyman who has a great year. And I think Ernie Clement is better than that. I'm not saying
what's he hitting? 391 he's hitting in the postseason.
And what had he done in his career prior to this year?
260 career average.
Right. And what had he done in his career prior to the last 2 years? He was a journeyman. He was bouncing around.
Right.
And the last 2 years, he's been a productive player for the Toronto Blue Jays, and now he's like a postseason hero.
Right, Cleveland he was at before. He's bouncing.
You got to find that.
Right.
And the Yankees have in the past, and the Mets have in the past. But that's a part of the magic that the Blue Jays are producing this year. That's why it isn't as easy to say, just go be them, because that's tough to find.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need to.
You got to make savvy signings like that. And guys that become glue guys. They're not the stars, but they're consistent and they're good for you when you need them to be.
Yes.
That's hard to do.
Very hard to do.
All good teams that win championships, they find that in some capacity.
Right? Absolutely. Chris is in Franklin Square. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Chris, we just lost you.
Oh, sorry about
What's
that.
What's up?
Let's go to Rich in Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. All's good.
Two World Series points and one question to Tiki. Two World Series points is, Vladdy just laid heavy shade on the Yankees. And you want to know why they're doing so well? Vladdy summed it up by saying, it's because of Don Mattingly. He's taught us how to do things, how to play better baseball, made me a better person. Mm. Basically, essentially, Mattingly's showing them how to do things the Yankee way. Point number two, last night, and I'm surprised that no one brought this up today. Mm. In the eighth inning, they're paying cerebral baseball. Max Muncy, second base, and they're throwing a pitch, breaking ball, down and away, and they're like, wait a minute, he should have swung at that, and they're realizing that Muncy's going ahead and giving signs. So what do? They intentionally balk in order to get Muncy to third, that way they're not stealing the signs. I don't know if anybody caught that or not.
I saw that.
And now
I saw that like a few months ago, and I forget which situation it was where they balked on purpose so that it was a runner on second, and there was a balk on purpose so that they couldn't see kind of the positioning of the catcher behind the plate. I forget the game or the situation,
but I remember,
it's happened before.
I remember that as well, because they had a lead. They had a two or three run lead, and there was a man on base. And so instead of risking dealing with that guy, they moved them over.
It's like the on-purpose penalty in the NFL to rerun the clock.
Right.
Which we saw Brian Daboll do 2 weeks ago. Look, the Mattingly thing. I don't know, as a bench coach of the Toronto Blue Jays, because that's his title. He is the bench coach of the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't know what information he is sharing that's helping the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm sure he is. I mean, he is a valuable baseball mind. He has seen it all. He's played in a different era. He's coached. He's managed. He provides a lot of great experience. So I am not going to minimize what Don Mattingly is whispering to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Addison Barger. But this is probably a Yankee fan fiction thing.
Hmm.
Because we love Donnie. We're happy for Donnie. So now he's going to go down now as the most important bench coach in the history of baseball. I'm not minimizing. I'm sure he's doing something.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's helping. I mean, again, he's a valuable resource. But I don't know how much more he's providing than any other bench coach. Did I say that in the nicest way possible?
Yeah, I mean, he's a bench coach.
He's a bench coach.
Yeah, you don't think Mattingly's a good coach. You want to minimize him.
I didn't say he wasn't a good coach. I said he wasn't a good manager, and that's very different. Because much like there are really good defensive coordinators and really good offensive coordinators, and they don't make the jump to being a good head coach, I've always felt watching Donnie manage the Dodgers and the Marlins that he wasn't a great manager. Is he a good bench coach? He could be great. I mean, he keeps getting a job, so obviously other managers have felt that way. But I'll ask you this, Sean. Whether it's Friday night or Saturday night.
Sure.
If the Blue Jays win the World Series, will you kind of have tear in eye and some extra excitement because Don Mattingly gets his first World Championship?
I'm more interested in it already because of Don Mattingly.
Really?
Yeah, Don Mattingly was my first love as a baseball fan.
I get that. He is a generation's favorite player. I respect that. I'm just asking, like, if that gives you any extra...
It's not going to be a tear in the eye because the game's going to end so late, I'm just going to roll over, click the remote, and go to sleep and start snoring. Mm. But I'll be happy for him, sure. Can you also just... I'm already now fearing this. If this goes 7 and we get the crazy Ohtani stuff, can I not spend the 3 hours at the Giant game with you just breaking down the baseball game with me? Can we focus on the football on Sunday?
You're worried that if there's a game 7,
it's not that I'm worried.
And it's
I know
a classic.
You. I know
that
you.
I'm going to spend 3 hours at a Giants game with you talking about the baseball game from a night earlier.
I know how this is going to work. I'm going to come out of the lot, and Tiki knows this too. It's going to be 12:40. We're going to see each other. The first thing you're going to say to me, "Great seats, right? I told you, okay." And then 3 minutes later, you're going to go, "You stay up for the game last night? What'd you think?
So
would you have put Ohtani in?" I that bell rings. I want to watch the Giants.
Here's the problem. Can I tell you what's going to end up happening?
Okay,
because that was a good prediction. I slightly disagree with you.
All right.
So there's a classic game 7, Teak, right? Amazing game, blah, blah, blah. I show up to the game, 12:45. I buy Sean some chicken fingers. We sit down, 50-yard line, Giants 49ers.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I will not bring up the game. The problem is people around us will.
No, they won't.
Uh-huh.
Only if they recognize you.
Well, I think that may happen, and I think there'll be a, "Hey, what you think of this?" And I will, I'm a nice person, right, Sean?
Yes.
Am I a nice person?
You're a very nice
person. Okay. I will engage with them about said game because they asked me. And the conversation will only go as far as the other people want to bring it. It is not my fault if people want to break down game 7 of the World Series with me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bring it up. But if it's brought up, you can't get pissed at me if Charlie, one row behind us, can't get over the craziness of the way that game ended and wants to talk to me about it as a diehard baseball fan. That is a you problem, not a me problem.
So blame me. Mm. If we get to person number 2 talking to you about it, say, "Guys, call in 888-808-1019 on Monday. I'll take your calls on
that
day."
Look at that.
Otherwise...
That's a vertical tee? No, horizontal.
Horizontal tees.
Horizontal tees.
Otherwise, I call Tiki Barber and say, "Get me in the Legacy Club. I'm leaving Evan Roberts in the upper deck."
Have you ever done that with a listener where, "I'm sorry, if you want to talk more about this, call me up on Monday at 2? Have you actually? Because I've never said that to anybody in the 20 years I've almost been here.
No.
Never, because it's so douchey.
No.
You want me to say to somebody, if you want my opinion on Ohtani in the ninth, 888-80. Like, who the hell do you think you are?
Evan,
who do you think I am?
When somebody pushes
you, you don't do it viciously. You do it opportunistically.
I would never do
by
that.
By saying, yeah, blah, 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 quick 10-second thing and say, "You know, we talk about this every day."
Yeah.
On WFAN.
Exactly.
2 to 6:30 p.m.
And I would never do this to somebody in Target.
888-808-1019.
Yeah. Target.
You say it like fast.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's like you're dismissing it, but you're not actually dismissing
totally
it.
Totally not doing that, by the way.
It's a football game.
You absolutely
football game.
Should do that.
That.
Why
not? No. Here's who should
do
that.
You don't know when you're going to pick up a new listener, and that listener is going to stay forever.
That is really true. But what I would say is, Sean, if someone is chewing my and your ear off about the baseball game, it is on you to look that person in the eye and say, "Listen, I appreciate that you're bringing this up. I don't want Evan to talk about this anymore, so can you please shut the hell up?" That's on you. I'm not doing that.
I will be.
That's not on me. That's on you.
I'll do it.
So this is no longer an Evan thing. I'm not going to bring up the World Series on Sunday. I move on. As soon as that game is over, I'm probably doing a Rico talking about the offseason. Like, I'm done. So if someone talks about it, it's because of them, and it's on you to shut them up. Don't put this on me.
Mm-hmm. You are like a refrigerator magnet when it comes to baseball talk, and I'm already nervous about it.
And that's not my fault.
It is your fault.
How is it my fault?
Because you basically bathe in baseball seams. It is your fault. You attract it.
So it's not my fault if someone brings it up. Anyhow, let's talk some football coming up. Plus more of your baseball calls if you so wish. 888-808-1019. We are halfway through the NFL season. And at the beginning of the year, we made a prediction. Who would win more games, the Jets or Giants? Is that still a possibility? Could the Jets still win more games than the Giants? We'll get into that, plus the host of other things coming up. It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.